Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on our program tonight, Markets and Company News. It's a Thursday evening. That means Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Simon, let's dive straight into salaries if we can. Discovery hiking its minimum pay to 200,000 Rand per year per person. That's about 16,600 Rand a month. All of this in its annual report. Group also making strides, it says, in improving diversity at a management level. But boy, that money that the chief executive, Adrian Gore, and others are earning is fairly eye-watering.
Evening, Jeremy. Yeah, Hilton Kona, who's the CEO of the bank, he was the one who really took home big money. I like this idea. We've seen it from others in the financial services space. I hope we see it more broadly, which is disclosing what do we pay our lowest paid workers. Now, there could be tricks in the process here. You've got some contract workers that you outsource some functions that's not included. But I think disclosing is absolutely fair. And I think disclosing at, I think 16,500 is a decent base salary for South Africa. I mean, it's a good step. We're seeing more of it. I think it's a trend that probably will sort of pick up some momentum going forward as we now see a couple of the sort of large listed companies doing it.
Anglo American Platinum, Simon, reporting a 10% decline in total platinum group metal production in the third quarter, but its longer term outlook is a little more positive.
Yeah, so they had some challenges on their plants. They had some shutdowns, etc. They're going to be coming in at the bottom end of their guidance for the full year. So they're still within the guidance. That is important. And with the PGM miners right now, it really is around finding the answers that you can mine the cheapest because of the prices. And then, of course, it's the platinum group metal prices. We're certainly seeing strong moves today. Palladium trading around 1150, which could potentially be a nice break higher. That's got the market way more excited than the trading update, which we'd expected it coming. We knew that they were having some production issues. We knew that it was going to be a less great a period for them. As I said, still within the guidance, even if only at the lower end of the range.
And Kumba saying that its output has increased by 3% in the third quarter. Not really shooting the lights out there.
Not shooting the lights out. Output up by 3%, sales up by 2%, but still targeting a sales guidance of 36 to 38 million tons. That in the back of mining of 35 to 37 million tons. They are selling more than they mine. That's because they've been stockpiling during the challenges they've had with Transnet. The challenge this time was loading at Saldanha due to the severe storms that we saw during July down in the Western Cape. That hindered them in that regard. Here, the issue really is, and they talk about it in the update, it's around demand for steel and ergo also iron ore. Lots of reports of stockpiling of iron ore in China, lots of reports of not much steel demand in the world at the moment, and certainly China is accused of producing steel regardless of the profitability and essentially dumping into Europe. You and I have also chatted around concerns that they're also going to be dumping into South Africa, and ArcelorMittal wanting to take action against that.
Simon, on a Saturday morning, if we don't pop into Dis-Chem, we're probably going to pop into Clicks, and the latter recording a 14% jump in headline earnings.
Yeah, a massive set of numbers from Clicks. This is one of the best companies on the JSE. Make no mistake about that. You see nice operational leverage in that the revenue's up high single digit. We then see earnings and dividends up closer to just above 14%, showing really good volumes. Clicks has a couple of winners. Obviously, it was flu season they're reporting through. A lot of folks got quite vicious flu this year, so that helps with the over-the-counter products. And they really do push the idea of, you can go in there and get a cheap treat for yourself be it in the makeup space or the beauty or even in the chocolate aisle or wherever it is, that sort of value proposition. And they really do work that incredibly well. Top management team, and absolutely top set of numbers, and a stock that is, one of the few, when I zoom out to a 5-year chart, which includes the pandemic, typically you see stocks that are trading at or around the sort of pre-pandemic levels, clicks easily 50% up from where they were before the pandemic. A standout operator in the retail space in South Africa.
And Simon, how's this for a segue? Talking about cheap chocolate treats, interesting item that I read about obesity drugs globally, and this figure is staggering. And we're talking about Wegovy and Ozempic. By 2030, this market is going to grow to 100 billion US.
Yeah, it is an absolutely giant market. Eli Lilly, Novo Nordisk, the two clear leaders in the space. There are others who are coming through with the drugs. And there are a couple of really wild parts here, apart from the 100 billion, which is a giant business when you think it's still a relatively new business. And they are struggling to fulfill demand. I mean, they could sell more if they could produce more. They'll get those bottlenecks out of the way in the next year or so, but they literally could be doing more or potentially at higher prices. But it's also that these drugs are doing so much else. Claims that it is a helps you stop smoking, that it suppresses desire for alcohol at the same time. And then the ripple effect. So, Jeremy, if we all are going to be healthy and fit and trim, does that mean that, I don't know, Virgin Active gets more customers? Does it mean that the Match.com group does better? Is this bad for the likes of McDonald's? This is going to take time to roll out, but in a decade or two, it's going to be fascinating to see what the lower levels of obesity the world over are as a result of these drugs.
And are they going to close that sweet treat aisle at Clicks, Simon? You didn't throw that into the mix. Let's get back local if we can. Afrimat, it's a building materials and mining group, an 80% decline in headline earnings.
Yeah, so we knew some of this was coming. It's the Lafarge, which is the cement maker, which they purchased, and it's the first time it's in the numbers. This is the 6 months to end August, and there's a lot of work to do at Lafarge. By accounts, Andreas van Heerden had a presentation earlier today, a webcast, and he says that things are going well, that there were no major surprises. There was nothing that was unexpected or untoward. They will almost certainly report a full-year drop in earnings as well, as the second 6 months also sort of take some pain from turning Lafarge around. I'm confident, he's confident that they can do it. I think they probably can. This really is, Afrimat, perhaps the best deal makers in terms of price paid on the JSE, but also just in terms of execution. They also had some challenges. We spoke Arsenal Mittal a week or two ago. They'd had some furnace shutdowns. Afrimat supplies iron ore into Arsenal Mittal, so they had some drop-off there. They have got that back going again, and in fact, they're doing slightly better sales because of the ramp-up. So this really is a blip along the way as they sort of bed down and get that Lafarge cement up and running.
And Simon, finally, I've always been a big proponent of the go big or go home strategy, and AECI rolling out a strategy. It wants to double profit by 2026, if I've read this correctly, and at the same time wants to cut its emissions. That's a big ask.
It's a big ask in every sense. Cutting the emissions, not going to be easy. Doubling in size by 2026. I had to double check that because my first thought was, but aren't we in late 2024?
That's what
let's
I thought.
Let's be generous. And, yeah, let's say they do it at the end of 26, so they've got 2 years to do it. That is still, it's going to be a challenge. But they've obviously sat down. They've obviously worked out that they can potentially do this, and is very keen to really grow the business in a number of ways. I mean, obviously, internally, they know, and they sort of, they're explosive, right? So they're in the mining business. That's their key business. They're looking at more offshore operations. They're saying they can compete efficiently, particularly in Europe, although they will do this via acquisition. I hope it's sort of small bolt-on acquisitions rather than sort of a single giant, because those are often difficult to swallow and don't go as planned. I like the ambition of it. This is, the idea that companies can say, well, 10 or 15% growth is great. Sure, 10 or 15 is nice, but why not take a company which is, I don't know, what's it, 100 odd years old, and double it in 2 years? Not easy, but audacious. I like audacious.
We love a bit of ambition. Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Talk again next Thursday. As always, thank you for your time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.
It's just after 6 o'clock on this Thursday. Good evening to you. Let's spend the next hour delving into practical strategies for managing your money and improving your financial health. Very quickly, the day in a snapshot, platinum and gold shares leading the JSE higher and the Rand finding some strength today. Coming up on the program, is your job a joy or a burden? Some help in recalibrating the paradigm. Do you have a negative bank balance the day before payday? Combating fraud in mobile banking, there's some worry over festive season flying schedules, and the global obesity drugs market could grow to $100 billion by 2030. Let's start the show. And that's where we're going to leave Hot 1027 Business with MoneyWeb for this evening. I'm back on Monday at 6 o'clock. Good night, stay invested, and thank you for listening.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.